hear about the deal I'm making.
What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast with my Pokemon dealing brother Ryan.
What's up, everybody?
I hope you are having a great start to your week.
I am having a fantastic start to my week. Thank you.
I hope nobody at home who is listening to this has to get cut open and have a baby pulled out of them.
Or had to survive, you know, torrential flooding.
Yes.
Before I went to sleep last night, I literally thought to myself, like, what if it just rained like this the next, like, 2 weeks straight? Like, would we be in a, like, Noah situation?
Pretty much, yeah.
And then it rained 15 inches in 6 hours, so
you see
we 100% were.
You see we're, like, 0.3 inches away from, like, setting a record for August?
Yeah, we set a record for, like, the single day.
Rainfall.
Rain amount, yeah.
Well, welcome to Dallas-Fort Worth, you bitches, where the weather changes on a dime, basically. It was 100 degrees last week, and now it's raining literal cats and dogs.
I'll take the
because weather
the flood,
talk.
I'll take flooding over the
true
100 degree
that.
Weather.
Oh my god! But anyways, welcome to this episode of the show. We are here on Monday.
The show,
the Furloughed Film Talk show, where we are only going to talk one show today, and that is what, Ryan?
Game of Thrones, House of Dragons.
House of the Dragon. That is our most accurate dragon noises, if you were wondering. Send us your dragon
noises. That's an oxymoron, Alex.
Shut the fuck up.
Look how cute that war turtle is. Look at that little guy.
He's just like sliding down the thing.
Just enjoying his afternoon.
No care in the world.
Nope.
But if you're listening to this episode and you want to hear more from us or see what other cool, fun stuff that we inevitably will do, maybe, who knows, check us out on Twitter at Furloughed Film and on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks.
So you're trying to convince yourself there?
Yes, yeah, so I was trying to remember. It's been a long day. And on YouTube, I just watched somebody get cut open. And on YouTube, spoilers, on YouTube at Furloughed Film Talks, you can check out all the cool kind of shit. We're going to have our video up and running. I'm in Ryan's office right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some mics after payday in a few days.
Okay. And we'll have a camera set up and we'll have a whole cool thing going on.
I have to get a new tripod because
that one got fucked up. I still have it, by the way.
Good, that's good.
Yep. So if you are interested in what we're doing, what we got going on, all the giveaways that we have, we'll have on our first live stream that we get back going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking bullshit at this point.
Okay.
I'll give away some Funkos. We'll have some cool shit to
you
give away.
You just give away one Funko. One Funko's good.
No, I'll give away like seven.
That's too excessive.
A little excessive.
Yeah, that's too much.
So, yeah, we'll do that real soon. We'll have some more giveaways and stuff like that, like we've had in the past, to build up the audience. We're on the comeback,
yeah,
as they would say, in the industry.
This is the second episode in
3-4 days?
Yeah.
We recorded Thursday.
It was Thursday.
So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days.
Yeah.
I can count.
But we're going to be recording every Monday from here on out, and episodes will go out Tuesday if Alex sticks to the schedule.
I'll stick to the schedule.
Okay.
All right, Ryan.
Will you?
I got myself up from my 5:30 nap to come over here at 7:15.
Oh, is that what you're doing at home? You're napping?
Yes, I was taking a quick cat nap.
Well, you know what? Okay.
What?
Nothing.
Say it.
Nothing?
Say it!
Nothing!
Cool.
Oh,
cool.
Did you put the YouTube, the video on YouTube from last week?
No, I will, though.
Okay.
Shut the fuck up. No, I got a little busy wrangling small children. But they're really not that small. Some of them are taller than me.
You should clarify what you mean by wrangling small children. It sounds
like
you're just out in the wild. Wrangling,
tagging and bagging fucking
yeah
children,
feral children.
Yeah, no, I'm not going out to South Houston, and I could have said South Dallas, but that would have been too real.
Why the fuck would you go to South Houston?
I don't know, because I don't like Houston.
All right, let's move on.
Anywho, this
do
whole
any, do any news to talk about before we get into House of Dragons?
More WB bullshit, if you want to touch on that real fast.
I feel like that we might have, I don't know.
Well, they canceled more.
I saw they canceled more, yeah. There's some Batman thing? No, not Batman.
Yes, Batman. That is not really canceled. It's just not going to be on HBO Max. They're shopping it around right now. But Merry Little Batman is done for. The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie, is done for. Bye Bye Bunny, a Looney Tunes musical, is done for. And Did I Do That to the Holidays, a Steve Urkel story, is also done for. As well as The Amazing World of Gumball, the movie, which is an animated show that they, I guess they made a new movie, is not moving forward at HBO Max. And Batman Caped Crusader is no longer going to move forward at HBO Max. Now, all of those will be shopped to other networks and streaming services, but that does not necessarily mean that it is a foregone conclusion that it will they'll end up anywhere.
All that sounds like kind of inconsequential for the most part.
You shut your whore mouth about Batman and Steve Urkel.
I'm just saying, it's all... It's nothing major there. I mean, Batgirl was, like, barely consequential.
You, again, shut your whore mouth. Batgirl.
Shut the fuck up. You didn't even know about Batgirl until
I did! Okay. Until they what?
Until they canceled it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Do you know who was playing the villain in Batgirl, Ryan?
I don't know. I was going to say something funny, but I can't remember her name.
Look up Batgirl movie villain.
Okay.
Right now. And then I get to slap you in the face when you realize why I actually gave a shit about this movie.
Firefly. Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
Okay.
One, the only, he's getting awarded a recognition at TIFF.
Oh, what I was going to say was, I was going to joke that Megan McCarthy was the villain.
Melissa McCarthy?
Whatever. Is it Melissa?
I think you tried to like combine Melissa McCarthy with Meghan McCain.
Megan McCarthy is actually a YouTuber.
Oh, I did not know who that was.
Her latest one is my last video for now. I'll be back.
Vlog is she? Is she a mixture of Melissa McCarthy and Meghan McCain?
She actually does kind of look like that.
Please take that off the screen.
You know who that looks like?
Who? Don't.
A certain ex-girlfriend of you.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyways, no, Warner Brothers just keeps on fucking around. We went and saw Bullet Train the other night.
We did see Bullet Train. Are we going to talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about Bullet Train real fast. We're just going to make this up as we go.
We need to be more organized.
No, screw it. It's more fun this way.
That's why we got 11 viewers last week.
That's because I didn't post it on any of our social media.
Oh, good job, man. Yeah, I'm really
Fridays, nobody's really listening to podcasts. That's what the data shows.
I listen to podcasts on Friday. I think your day is bullshit.
I don't look up data. So
okay.
No, Bullet Train starring Brad Pitt, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Michael Shannon,
mm-hmm.
a lot of other people. Directed by the guy who did Deadpool 2, David Leitch.
That lady was in it too.
What lady?
Oh God, what's her name?
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock was in it. Yeah,
that was supposed to be a surprise for the audience, but whatever. Spoilers for Bullet Train. There's two other cameos that I don't want to ruin. I thought Bullet Train. What do you want to give the synopsis of Bullet Train real fast, Ry?
Synopsis of Bullet Train is Brad Pitt takes an assignment as a hitman, but his assignment, well, he's not really a hitman. He just like smash and grab shit. So he's got an assignment to get on a bullet train, find a briefcase, and get off the train. And all hell breaks loose as he happens upon many murders and many dead people and many people trying to kill him. It turns out that there's many people after this case because it is actually the ransom for the
White Death.
The White Death, who is like the criminal lord, overlord of Japan for some reason. Some half Russian, half Japanese dude is. He's not even half. It's funny because in the movie he speaks in half Russian, half Japanese accents in English.
And American.
Sorry? Bro, you really need to shave.
Shut up.
It's like unfortunate.
Yeah, it's getting bad.
Yeah, this is not a good look for a childless high school teacher.
Ryan, oh my God. No, but the briefcase has like $1 million in it because the White Death is trying to like get his son back.
Or was he?
Yeah, that's the whole convoluted thing at the end where you're just like, there's too much going on here at the end. But highlight of the whole movie for me. He's not in it for long, but when Michael Shannon shows up, he steals the show for me. That man is an absolute.
That was the highlight of the movie. The highlight of the movie wasn't Brad Pitt telling an old woman to eat a bag of dicks.
That was a highlight as well.
Because that was a highlight for me.
But I didn't remember that scene. But I remembered Michael Shannon just going full Michael Shannon in this movie as a Russian-Japanese samurai guy who's like 60, 70 years old.
How old is Michael Shannon?
I bet he's got to be like 58. I bet he's...
No, he's like 61.
No.
You want to bet?
Not really.
48. No, he's not. Shut the fuck up.
It says right there. Wow. Sorry, Michael.
Damn. I mean, that's what a life of cigarettes will do to you.
And hanging out in Chicago bars instead of the Oscars.
Yeah.
Is that where he was? Chicago?
I think so, because he was doing a Broadway play. Not Broadway, but he's doing a play
of Chicago. Some sort. This is a great review.
Yeah, this is excellent. This is very well rehearsed. no, it was good. Okay, so Brad Pitt, like, you know, he starts out the show, like, movie, telling the little person who's directing him. He's got, like, a kind of voice in his ear who's directing him through the operation. And, I mean, Brad Pitt is fucking hilarious in this movie.
Yes.
And he keeps saying, like, I have bad luck. Like, I'm going to turn myself around. He's making this joke about, like, the stuff his therapist is telling him. And then, like, you know, kind of all hell breaks loose where there's these other characters, Tangerine and Lemon, who are rescuing the White Death's son, who's a drug addict, piece of shit person. They're rescuing him from, I guess, the triad or something.
They say the triad.
Yeah, but then somehow he gets killed. No one knows who did that. Then another hitman gets on the train and tries to kill Brad Pitt. And it's all these different like stories kind of weave together at the end when the White Death explains that like he's orchestrated this all to like have all of his enemies kind of kill each other.
I just realized something as I was looking this up because I wanted to like give kudos to because you said something about like Brad Pitt. Like, was hilarious in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that was because you get the sense that he was just allowed to kind of do whatever the hell he want and, like, whatever the hell he wanted and to kind of go as wild as he wanted with the role. Like, there was no reservation or guardrails on what he could do. Like, the director was just like, go for it. And everybody kind of... I got that sense from everybody, especially the dudes that played Tangerine and Lemon, mm-hmm. which were Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Brian Tyree Henry. And then I realized we watched back-to-back movies on trains where somebody in the cast went on to star in Eternals. Train to Busan, that one guy mm-hmm. was in it. And then the guy that played Lemon.
Mm-hmm. Byron and Tyree Henry.
He was in Eternals, too. He was the one that was like...
Well, not so much went on to star in Eternals, but yes.
I know, I'm just saying.
Both like, people like
I made the connection in my head that they mm-hmm. were both in train movies and then were also in Eternals together. And then created the atomic bomb. So that happened in that movie. That's what his character did. You remember that scene?
I do remember that scene, yeah. Yes,
where it was like, humans can't be like trusted.
And he's Eternals.
Like, standing in the wreckage.
Definitely the very best Marvel movie yes. of 2021.
Chloe Zhao. So...
No. I actually do not like Chloe Zhao. I'm going to be honest. Like, Eternals yeah, wasn't good. Like whatever that... What was the
I almost other? Called it train wreck, but I didn't... Nomadland.
Nomadland. Not great, but, you know.
Oh, well. No, I think the thing that you can say about this movie the most is it was 100% its own thing, and everybody within it knew that they had free reign to just go as crazy as possible with, like, their roles, or to go, like, as manic... Or, like, whatever, like, emotion or whatever you want to call it, like, acting style, they were just, like, allowed to do whatever the hell they wanted to do mm-hmm. in this movie. And that's a credit to the director and the script just kind of being, like, a free-for-all. And it works most of the time. I think just my biggest issue with it is you see this some of the time with, like, exposition dumps where it's just, like, we have to lay. And Greg said this to me. The other night, he was like, basically, Warner Brothers, who did all the Christopher Nolan movies, would like let Christopher Nolan do whatever he wanted, but they required that there was at least one scene where one character would basically explain whatever the plan was to like another character to basically map it out for the audience to understand like and not get lost on what was going to happen. the same thing is almost happening here, where like every 5 to 10 minutes you either had somebody being like, oh, you don't know who the White Death is, exposition, or like flashbacking 5 to 10 minutes prior to something or something that, you know, was being handed off, or like
it's really very important,
constantly like, reminded like, oh hey, like we know the audience is dumb as fuck. Like, we have to remind them, like, every 5 to 10 minutes. Like, here's a piece of info that you might have forgotten in the 5 minutes you've been watching this movie.
That's really important for this type of movie, where there's, like, so many different storylines going on and, like, so many different characters that kind of intertwine throughout the movie. You know what else does that really well?
Who's that?
What We Do in the Shadows, where every episode of the season, in the first 3 minutes, they explain where baby Colin Robinson comes from. Nadja always explains that that the child was the product of something that climbed out of the abdominal cavity of their dear deceased friend, Colin Robinson.
But does that not get annoying to you? Because like, it got annoying.
No, it's fucking hilarious.
Okay, but because it got annoying as hell to me in this movie. Like, I hated that aspect of this movie.
Was it really like... was it so annoying that it took away from the movie?
Yes.
Because I didn't even notice it.
Oh, because I noticed it, like, really early on, where it was, like, they had explained something, I think, with the White Death, or something, like, really early in the movie, and then it was, and you don't ever know this while you're in a theater, so it's, like, I'm guesstimating here, but, like, 10 to 15 minutes later, it was, like, oh, well, hey, here, like, and okay. Then showed it again, and it was, like...
Were they explaining it to the same character, or were they explaining it but to like new characters? No.
It was the exact same characters, and it was showing the exact scene that had happened like 10 to 15 minutes prior.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like an exact like thing, almost 10 minutes later.
Yeah, I mean, this is such like a popcorny movie that I didn't even like read into it so deeply that I would notice.
And I normally
them explaining the same.
And I normally wouldn't have, but it happened so many different times where I was just like, okay, guys, like, I know you think the audience is really dumb or just not paying attention, which is, like, if you're watching it at home.
I really want to watch this to debunk the notion right. that they explained it multiple times to the all same right. characters.
We will re-watch it together. And,
but no. Oh, yeah, click, I guess we would need to watch it.
Click off the moments.
Okay, well.
No, but here's the thing.
Did you?
I enjoyed the hell out of this movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really, really fun movie to watch.
So, we saw it with our significant others.
Okay.
does Alexis?
Yes.
Does Alexis listen to this?
From time to time.
Okay.
Go ahead. She's not going to take any issue with anything.
Well, I overheard that like she didn't particularly like this movie.
Yeah, she just felt like there was a lot going on at the end, which there was. Like, there was a lot. Like you said, there was a lot of different storylines going on, and it kind of converged all into that one. And so it was just, like, a ton happening at the end of the movie. And she just felt, like, anxiety almost over, like, everything that was happening.
Okay.
So, like, that was her biggest thing with it. And so, like, I get that. For me, it was, you know, the humor that Brad Pitt had, all the different relationships, and something we haven't touched on, but, like, that lemon-tangerine connection.
Yeah.
Turns into, like, this really emotional... kind of heartfelt moment twice that I thought I would never have expected from a movie like this. And that really was something that I thought was a strong point of this movie, because you believed, even though most of these characters are pretty freaking ridiculous, you believe that connection, you believe in that like love for each other. And so that those moments really do connect with you and work.
Well, they had a lot of those really, because you had the tangerine and lemon. They were actually siblings.
Yeah,
they kept saying that they were twins. They're clearly not twins, because one's a huge black dude and one's like a slim tall white kid. But they clearly have been in like some kind of foster situation or something. Like clearly like grew up together.
Like for me, it was like, I thought they were just like, they had worked together for so long that they had made this connection. But then when they showed like, and this is one where the flashback worked, was they show the flashback of them like watching.
So you had that. You also had like the guy who was kind of like blackmailed into going on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a guy whose son was like pushed off a roof, and then he was like blackmailed into doing something. But like that guy's father was a former lieutenant of the guy who got taken over by the White Death.
Yeah.
So you had the grandfather, the son, and the grandson.
Well, and the White Death killed this guy's wife.
Right. So you had, like, you had that kind of emotional connection. And then you also had, what was the other one?
Well, then you had the wolf.
The wolf?
Bad Bunny.
Well, okay, there wasn't so much where you're, like, invested in that, though. But I feel like you kind of got invested in, like, the grandson and that whole family situation. Then Lemon and Tangerine, you kind of got invested. And then at the end of the movie, where it was, like, Brad Pitt's character. Who was
Ladybug.
Yeah, okay, so Ladybug. And then
Brian's very quickly looking on his
Firefox. I'm looking at the cast of. Okay, so you had Hiroyuki Sanada, who's the elder.
Yes.
His son was, shit, where the fuck is he?
I would assume it's Andrew. Yeah, it's right there. Andrew Koji. Yoichi Kimura.
Okay, right. Andrew Koji, who the character was Yuichi Kimura, and then the elder, and it was Brad Pitt, and, like, they're, like, the only ones left on the train, except Joey King's character, who turned out to be, spoilers, the White Death's daughter.
Yeah, that was an interesting move.
Right. So, when you had, like, them three together, and they're, like, devising this plan, and none of them are, like...
Well, that was one scene... Okay, that's a perfect example, because they make the reveal that, like, that's his daughter, and she was kind of the one... I don't think she was the one that, like, really killed her, like... The one that's being ransomed, the son. They don't say that she kills him, but that was a scene where it cuts back to when she, like, finds him dead and then, like, spits in his face. And it's like, I think we all have remembered, like, that moment and don't need to really be shown that. Like, do we?
No. I feel like there's so much going on in this movie that you probably would need to kind of flashback and show. Because when I saw that, I was like, okay... That may be, like, an ex-boyfriend or someone that fucked her over. I didn't even have the possibility of that being her brother.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't need, like, other movies don't have to show that. Like, they don't need to show the audience that, like, oh, hey, this is his daughter. Let's show you when she, like, spat in her brother's face. And now that you know that they're brother and sister.
You don't need to, but plenty of movies do.
I'm not going to argue that if they don't or not, because there's...
I feel
thousands of movies, so.
So, Knives Out, that did a lot of flashbacks, right? Like.
Yeah, but that is where it recontextualizes and adds, like, a different perspective, where this was, it quite literally.
It's exactly what you're.
No. It shows a third character's perspective. This was, like, the exact scene from earlier in the movie.
Just replayed.
Yes. That's the difference, is, like, if you do it from, like, a third character's perspective where they are, like, let's say, like, it's, I'm just making this up, but, like, one character finds another character dead and is, like, framed for the murder. Then you show the third character, who's the actual one who murdered them, later. That then recontextualizes the whole scene and adds in information. Sure. Whereas this is, like, you've been given the information, and in for most directors or most writers, I think you would just assume that you'd be like, oh yeah, Logan Lerman was the brother. That's why she did that. We don't really need to show it. And this did. And so it's like, but to your point, there had been so much that was going on, and that was probably an hour and a half before. So it's like, yeah, let's just go ahead and show it for the 5 seconds it's going to take.
Another good example is when Lemon gets shot. They had referenced earlier that he had a bulletproof vest on. And then when he got shot, I did not, with everything going on, I did not remember that he had a bulletproof vest on.
Yeah.
So when he gets shot 3 times in the chest, like, at point blank, I figured he was dead.
He was dead. Well, because he said that he was like, no, it's too bulky or whatever. Like, I don't have it on.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh no, he did have it on.
So, right. Like, so your point stands, I guess. Like, they didn't have to flashback to that scene to reinforce that he had the vest on, but I don't know, for what the movie is, I think.
Well, I loved it, and I'm not saying I didn't. Like, I'm just saying that was one of my biggest issues.
What's that?
My other biggest issue, and this isn't really an issue, so I'm just going to preface it with that.
Okay.
Not enough Thomas the Tank Engine talk.
Oh, there was plenty of Thomas the Tank Engine talk.
We were on a train. Why was there not just a fake Thomas the Tank Engine in the background? That would have been so on par for this fucking movie.
The stickers and the incessant talk by Lemon was plenty.
I loved it.
So this was actually moderately successful so far.
Box office wise?
Yeah, budget was 86 to 90 million.
And that was only $90 million?
Yeah.
What?
And the box office is, I think it was 58 million.
For America?
Hold on. Globally, it's made $115 million.
Okay, so it's probably, it's at least made its money back, which is good.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, like, that was a good...
Well, and that's in the first week, right? This just came out this week.
No, this is its second... Repeats.
What's that?
Repeats at number one. So this is its second week.
Or I think third that might be week. Global.
Release date.
Oh, yeah, right.
So... Okay. We can do math. This is its...
Second week. The week we saw it was the second week.
Yeah, but it was its third weekend.
Right. And then, okay. Also, I guess we haven't talked about this. You see that Top Gun is number six?
Yeah.
Of highest grossing movies of all time?
Past Avengers and
domestically. Domestically.
Whatever. That's still huge. It's still massive.
Still very big, yeah.
For a pandemic movie. Because we're still in a pandemic, people.
Not really.
Whatever.
And then this week, we get to see fucking 3,000 Years of Longing, which I am super excited for. Oh,
that's right. That's this week, isn't it?
It is this week, yeah.
We're going to have to do that Saturday.
Why Saturday?
Because I'm taking Atticus to the baseball game.
You know what Saturday is, right?
What's that?
Do you know what Saturday is?
UNT, baby!
UNT football!
Football UTEP!
Break out my UNT jersey!
In El Paso, where they have sold out the game.
Were they? Okay, I saw that they were close to selling it out. Mm-hmm. It was like 8 or 9,000 seats from selling out. And I was like, dude. Immediately went on Southwest Airlines and looked at tickets.
How much?
It would have been like $700 round trip.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. Okay, that's a little ridiculous.
So I was immediately like, no, this isn't happening. But we'll watch it from home at 8 p.m. on Saturday night.
What would your overall max Jindo head rating be for Bullet Train? Hold on, real fast. MVP of Bullet Train.
MVP of Bullet Train.
I'm going to start doing this. MVP of any movie we see.
I'm going to say The Elder.
Oh, that's a dark horse. That's a good one. He was pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
I got to go with my boy, Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon?
Michael Shannon.
Okay, you're talking about just like performance-wise, not actually like story-wise.
Sorry, let me rephrase.
Yeah.
Let me new pick. MVP. Spoilers. Channing Tatum.
Ha! Nice. It's from left field, but I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's been a running joke in my household for the past few days.
What has?
Is this a sex thing?
I swear to God, dude. I think I leaned over to you, or I think it was you, and was like, dude, the Hornet's going to be Channing Tatum. Just watch.
Uh-huh.
Like, just wait. It's going to be him.
We thought, you thought that whoever had killed Michael or White Death's son would be Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Channing Tatum was just some scrub.
Putz on
that. That Brad Pitt got to do a tricky trick.
Yes.
Anyways, max Jindo head rating.
Yes. You.
4 out of 5.
Okay.
4.0 out of 5.
I think I put a 4.75. Atticus is sending us photos from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
I saw, yeah. You really, a 4.75?
No, 3.75. Sorry.
Oh, shit.
3.75. Okay. My bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, with all the criticisms you had of it.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think they are warranted. They're my opinions.
Yeah, they are, sir.
No, yes. I don't think it deserves a 53 on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's just fucking critics getting on their high horse.
It's all over the place, though. Like, IMDb is 7.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is 53. That's critics, though.
You guys were about to say, what's the audience? I bet it's in the
80s. 90% of Google users liked it. 76%?
That's lower than I was expecting.
Yeah, for sure.
On the audience score for Bullet Train. But, no, I think it's a great, like, fun movie to go watch.
It's hilarious. I really liked it.
It is. There is a lot going on. But I think, like, everybody just had a joy making it, which you can definitely feel throughout the movie. And that's always fun to watch. So, go check out Bullet Train. It's out in theaters right now. what? Okay.
We'll be right back with the House of Dragons. Excuse you, sir.
We are back from an impromptu break to talk about the newest sensation within the world of entertainment. It broke all the HBO Max, HBO records last night.
Home box office.
Yes. Started in the 70s. It is the first, not the newest, the first spinoff from the world of Game of Thrones.
More accurately, the prequel to Game of Thrones.
Okay, yes.
House of Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon, thank you. House of Dragons.
Yeah, I was calling it House of Dragon as well, but it's House of the Dragon. Starring Matt Smith, Patty Hearer.
The name of the young lady who plays the princess?
Millie Alcock.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sorry, I'm too immature to not laugh at that.
Patty Consulin is the dude's name that plays the king in this show. I can't say that. This is set...
The story of the Targaryen Civil War that took place about...
Oh, so they do have a civil war. All right.
Yeah. Totes.
Cool.
Took place about 200 years before events portrayed in Game of Thrones.
Google, be fucking accurate. It's 172 years.
This is true.
Before Daenerys is born.
I guess they brought it up, right? Yeah,
well, it's 172 years before Daenerys is born, so really, like... Because she was, what, like 18, 19 in the show? Let's say she was 17.
Sure.
Then it would have been 189 years, 190 years. Don't get that attitude with me, dog. It would have been like... This is 190 years before the end of Game of Thrones, the show. And it's all about the Targaryens... And their messy secession plan, because the king did not have a male heir, and so he picks Viserys, who also does not have a male heir, and now there's questions.
This chick reminds me of someone, and it's driving me fucking crazy. I can't remember.
Well, let's not do it now. Let's just talk about
all right.
House of the Dragon. Oh, also starring Rhys Ifans, who, if you don't know him... You definitely know him from a lot of other movies that you might know him from. But for me, he's from The Replacements. He plays the British/Scottish/Irish kicker.
He's been in quite a few things.
Yes,
Maisie Spider-Man, Kingsman.
Oh, yeah. He played freaking Rasputin.
Yeah, he's in Deathly Hallows Part Un.
And was he not in Doh? No, he wasn't in Doh.
No, we're going to have to pause this and let the dog outside.
Yeah. He's gotten a lot of work lately.
He was also
in Spider-Man No Way Home.
He's also in Nanny McPhee.
Cool.
I don't know what that is. Pirate Radio. That's Marina's like favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that, but I heard it was good.
It's good.
So, Ryan, okay, before we get into, like, we've already kind of said what this show is about. Did this live up to the hype of what you expected from... It's not fair to say, like, oh, from, like, what the ending of Game of Thrones was, but from what...
Because ending of Game of Thrones was dog shit.
Yeah, from what the ending, or from what Game of Thrones was as a whole, did this live up to your expectations?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yes.
I would have preferred to have a little bit more epic grand battle, instead of the only action really being the City Watch, you know, kind of...
Balls off?
Going... Full medieval, which I guess it is medieval, but going full medieval and the townspeople cutting nuts and hands and killing people.
Yes, beheading people in the streets.
Yeah, and then a jousting competition.
Yeah.
So those were really the two main... What's that?
No, my finger itched.
Oh, I thought you were like...
No.
Okay. Yeah, so I would like to see like a grand battle to kick this thing off, you know?
But I think in the like...
But in the grand scheme of things, like, this is a very solid first episode for the return of the Game of Thrones universe.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think in the weeks ahead kind of preview that they had, they showed that there's going to be battles. Like,
it's
going
to get shitty. It's going to get, like,
yeah.
In a good way. It's going to get pretty epic.
And so I think, like, this is just a good, like, kind of re-entering into the world of what Game of Thrones was. And,
yeah.
Like, kind of, like, almost comfort food of, like... Here's all the places that you've missed, or like, you know, here's the freaking Red Keep not destroyed, and like all that kind of thing, to kind of just get you used to being back in that world.
Yeah, I just kind of would have liked them to say, you know, hey guys, it's been a couple years. We've all had a hard pandemic. Let's really get you kind of lubed up for this and have a huge fucking battle with multiple dragons.
Yeah.
And then kind of like ease us into things after that. But, you know, to each their own. You like, can't. The Benioffs have such a wonderful track record of, like, starting and ending series, so.
Well, I don't think they're involved in this at all.
Not the Benioffs. Who the fuck are these people? No, they are.
Now, are they?
I'm pretty sure.
The B brothers? It's D.B. Weiss and somebody else.
It's D.B. Weiss and something Benioff, isn't it?
They're not involved in this at all, are they? God, I hope not.
Yeah,
their names are not on the executive producers. No, I don't think they're involved in this whatsoever. No, but I think, like, the performances in this were insane. Like, Matt Smith has, again, shown he is one of the most underrated actors going right now. Like, after he was in The Crown, and he, unfortunately, was in Morbius. But now he's in this as Daemon Targaryen, and he is just menacing and is going to be a force to be reckoned with and basically be the one that kicks off this entire Targaryen civil war. So that's like him in this, like, was what got me really excited to begin with.
They still have a Game of Thrones, I guess they haven't updated this yet, a Game of Thrones spinoff on his IMDb page.
Yeah, I don't.
I guess it's not happening then.
I highly doubt that they're involved in any of that shit.
I love this Google question. Is Game of Thrones a real true story?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Definitely.
The dragons were 100% real. No, but, like, the one person that kind of surprised me a lot was Paddy Considine, who played Viserys Targaryen, the king, in, like, the present day of this story. He was fierce. And the pain that he showed, spoilers, before his wife died and after his wife died, like, he did a tour de force through this entire show. And so I was very, very intrigued by him. I loved it. I was not very much anticipating this show. Like, I had not really kind of looked forward to it. I hadn't heard a lot about it. And then, like, it was, like, this weekend. And I was like, oh, hey, House of the Dragon is coming out this weekend. I was like, okay, like, I'll watch it. I'm going to be intrigued by it. But, like, this fucking episode kicked it off into high gear and shows they are not shying away from, like, what Game of Thrones was, and they're, it feels like they're gonna almost kick it up a notch. And one of the reasons why it feels like they're kicking it up a notch is the scene that I think is going to be talked about a lot, and if it's not, then I don't know how. But, like,
the childbirth scene?
Yes.
Yeah, let's give a quick...
That was fucking insane.
A quick hit to what happened this episode, I guess. So, really the main, like, storyline is just... You have King Viserys the First. He is having... He has kind of like a succession problem because he doesn't have any male heirs, right?
Well, so, and you have to remember, he only became king because the king before him didn't also have male heirs. And so they had to, like...
A grand council had to be put together to kind of vote for who would be the heir. So he doesn't have any male heirs. His most obvious next in line would be his brother, Prince Daemon. And then... but his wife is pregnant.
Pregnante.
And, yeah, pregnant. So he also has a daughter who is played by Millie Alcock. I don't know. It doesn't say her name here. The character's name.
Rhaenyra.
And so really, you know, it's kind of revolves around his wife giving birth to hopefully a son. He's convinced that it's going to be a son. They also have a jousting tournament going on to honor the birth of his son, which is odd that they kicked that off before the baby was born. It kind of threw some bad juju because guess what? The baby and the mother...
It's a boy!
It was a boy, but the mother and the baby died during childbirth.
Which, like, okay, and this is what I thought was amazing about this show was, A, I had the feeling the entire time that it was like, oh, it's going to be a girl. It's going to be a girl. It's going to be a girl. Like, there's no way that they keep saying, like, I'm going to have a boy, and then it's going to be a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, it's a boy. And it was like, oh, these fucking bastards.
But wait!
But then, like, the Grand Maester, like, looked down and I'm like, is the baby dead?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hold on a second. And then it very intentionally, like, slow rolls you until it's Rhaenyra's at the funeral for her mom, and she's like, I hope, because the entire time she's like, I don't feel like my father's ever seen me, because he's wanted a son and built this whole thing up. And then she's like, I really hope he felt happiness in those few hours that, like, whatever, like, Baelin was, like, alive.
And her brother was alive.
Yeah, it was like, oh, shit, like, that little fucker died. Like, what? So, like, the writing in this and the way they, like, kind of lay all this out and sprinkle it in and then, like, call back to that. I thought they did an amazing job throughout the show of that. But we have to talk about how Baelin was born.
I mean, we can just say that they, you know, the Maester basically went to the king and said, like, look, either the baby hasn't turned so that, you know, we can't get the baby to turn properly. So either the baby and the mother die, or, you know, in modern terms, we have to perform a C-section, get the baby out, and obviously the mother's going to die, and hopefully we can save the baby. But then in very vivid detail, they showed them performing a C-section. And, like, there is no real precision to this. They just carved it up, stuck their hands in, and yanked that bitch out.
Did you think when he pulled him aside that that was where this was going to go?
100%, yeah.
Really?
For sure.
It had...
Where did you think it was going to go?
Okay, so when it, like, cut to them, and it was like, the baby's this way, and blah, 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 and I was like, damn, it'd be kind of crazy if they were... Or it was like, damn, it's crazy that they don't have C-section back then. Like, there's really nothing they can do. And then he, like, pulled him aside, and he was like, there is a way. And I was like, these motherfuckers aren't about to do this, are they?
Oh, yeah.
And then it was, like, basically, like, the helper people, the servants, like, pull her, and it was like, oh, they're about to do this. Like, oh, my God, okay.
Yeah, and they did. Yeah, they very, very good. It was.
But, like, dude, I don't know. That was just wild shit. And that's intercut with the tournament where they're just murdering each other.
Yeah, where they're, like, true Mortal Kombat style killing each other.
And that's what they said.
Which is, like, the, you know, like, the thing of Game of Thrones is really always a lot of sex, a lot of violence, and a lot of, like, shock factor, which this definitely had. It just, you know, they did the classic Game of Thrones sex and violence shock factor, but then...
Don't even say sex. Just say sex in a whorehouse.
Yeah, I mean, straight whore. This, yeah, a montage of whoring and whorehouses. But then they just kind of, like, you know, did some Italian spice on the top of the pizza of childbirth shock factor. Yeah. So that was fun. Anyways, it was a good... I think it's setting it up to be a really good season. One thing we're really hopeful for with this show in particular, which I learned from Screen Crush's Brian Aracy's recap.
Brian Aracy, but...
Whatever.
He shares a name with you. How do you get it wrong?
I got his first name right.
You said Brian.
No, I did. I said Brian.
No, it sounded like you said Brian.
Brian Aracy.
Okay.
Is it Brian Aracy?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways,
friend of the show,
for sure. I'm hopeful for this season because this is like straight up based on the novel that George R.R. Martin wrote. Like he wrote a prequel book called Of Fire and Blood, I think.
Of Fire and Ice, right?
No, there's
I didn't know this was based off of a book. I thought this was just like completely made up.
Fire and Blood.
Okay.
Which is like straight up the prequel book to Song of Ice and Fire.
Hit Wikipedia real fast.
Where?
It was right there.
Of this?
Yep. I just want to see what year it came out.
Oh, it was 2018.
Oh shit, so this is new.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, fuck, 3 years ago. Well, I mean, the one that, like, he's been working on for a decade now still isn't out.
Yeah, you know, he pretty much, like, had the prequel written, so he's like, might as well put this shit out as I procrastinate on...
On the other one?
Yeah.
Which, like, I, for a while, kind of, like, sympathized with him. Like, I understand, like, it takes a lot to write a book, but at this point, it's like, bruh,
yeah, come on. Yeah, he's literally never going to finish that series. It's not going to happen.
So, do you think... Okay.
But, no, let me finish my point. Like, sorry. I am hopeful for this series because they have, like, it says here 989 pages.
Holy
no, hell. 736 pages of material to go off of for this instead of, you know, two assholes trying to wing the last two seasons of Game of Thrones.
So let me, okay, I have two questions then. And this, one of them's abstract, one of them is not as abstract. The abstract question, think about what the height of Game of Thrones was, just not only popularity-wise, but like critically, how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this show can reach either of those? Because I think it's already kind of gotten close commercially-wise with the fact that it is now the largest, like, debut for a show on HBO.
Yeah.
But do you think this can be as good as Game of Thrones was at its height?
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I think it definitely can.
Can it surpass that?
I think it could be as good or... I would be surprised if it surpassed, like, the peak of Game of Thrones, just in, like, quality of the show.
And shock factor.
Right. I would be surprised, but I definitely do think it is possible. They definitely do have the cast and, like, quality source material to do so. I don't think anything will be as, like, culturally impactful as Game of Thrones ever was. Like, there's just way too much out there for a Game of Thrones spinoff to reach the peak popularity that Game of Thrones did.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it is just competing with so much out there, you know, and it, even if it's just like released with everything already out there and all, like, you know, other TV shows, second, third, fourth, fifth seasons or whatever that it was competing against, but it's coming out literally 2 weeks before the Lord of the Rings TV show,
mm-hmm.
which is going to break like every fucking record for budget on a TV show.
Well, and I know it was free, but like those theater viewings of it, that's like 2 days early from Cinemark.
Yeah,
like 20 minutes in, they were basically sold out.
Yeah, like Lord of that TV show might be able to meet or exceed the overall popularity that Game of Thrones did at its peak. Like, that Lord of the Rings show looks fucking badass. And I will say also that I think HBO and Amazon, for a little bit here, for the next like 2 months or so, is going to completely overshadow anything Disney Plus does.
Oh, 100%.
Until maybe December, like November, December.
Oh, I can't think of a single thing that Disney Plus has coming out the next like 5 to 6 months that is going to be anywhere near what they are doing on HBO or Amazon.
Right.
But, and that's not to say like all the stuff that they're doing, but specifically Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings. Like, this is going to dominate everything that is happening entertainment-wise for the next like 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's 700 and how many pages?
736.
Is this a one season, two seasons? Like, how long do you think this goes for?
I would say this is probably, like, at the very minimum, 3 seasons.
Okay. Because it's finite. Like, it's obviously, like, and one of the things is they jump forward in time. So, mm-hmm. they're going to do that at certain points.
It is finite in the sense that this book is finite.
And I was also saying it's finite in... You have a certain amount of time before you run into characters or storylines. I know it's 100 years, but like
if they're
jumping time, you have a finite amount of time story-wise.
If you think about it though, like how many seasons was Game of Thrones? 7 or 8?
8.
8, and that spanned maybe less at the very, very max, like 10 years.
But they never jumped time to where they had to switch actors and actresses.
Yeah,
actresses specifically.
You're only jumping enough time to like go from the actress being maybe 14 in the series to like 25 to 30.
That's still
so you're jumping like around 10 years. Like, and they have 170 years to lead up to the events of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, I'm literally just talking it out at this point. I'm just thinking aloud.
I would imagine that they would start the series with the idea of, okay, we want it to be 3 seasons. We're going to map out 3 seasons. Like, I think it would be difficult to stretch it out over any more than 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah, I think 3 to 5 is like the sweet spot for this.
Yeah, I think they definitely would be better off doing this in 3 to 5 seasons and then having a different spinoff show come in like during or at the heels of this.
I just think you were talking about it being maybe not reaching like the cultural impact that like Game of Thrones had, but like I feel like with the amount of people that were already interested in it very early on, if they have another like, and I don't think anything can be as shock value as like Red Wedding, but like another shocking end to an episode like that, mm-hmm. where it gets everybody talking, like that's where this gets kicked up a notch, and that's where this becomes something.
I would agree with you if Game of Thrones hadn't ended so poorly. Yeah, the way Game of Thrones ended so poorly, there's a decent percentage of the fans of Game of Thrones that have just like sworn off anything Game of Thrones.
I bet some of them this has redeemed it though. Like I think
I'm saying like there's,
I just will never watch another.
Yeah, 100%. Like maybe 5 to 10% of the people that were diehard Game of Thrones fans won't even watch the first episode of this. So I mean, it could though. It still definitely could.
I feel like if they string enough, because there's 10 episodes you said of this.
Yeah.
If they string together, let's say 4 episodes where like each one consistently is like badass, really good, is getting a lot of word of mouth, that then starts to convince the people where it's like, well, maybe I should check this out because I really loved Game of Thrones. It was just the last like 5-6 episodes that pissed me off.
Right. Again, I did, like, wouldn't at all be surprised. It doesn't, you know, I would never ever bet against HBO to create a successful show. Right.
I'm a little surprised at myself at how excited I am now by this show. Like, I was not expecting to enjoy it this much. And I was pretty hooked by everything that I saw. And it's not to say that I love watching C-sections. I don't. But, like, I was shocked and horrified and had that emotional reaction to the majority of this. And the writing was really good. And the cinematography. And just everything that the production value that went into this. It's an amazing show. And they've done a really good job with it. And it feels like vintage Game of Thrones. And so to have that back and have something like that back in like the entertainment world feels fucking awesome.
Yeah, I am really excited to have that weekly event back,
yes,
right?
Because
like Game of Thrones was a weekly event to the point where someone lost their job over it.
Have I told that full story on here?
Yeah, you definitely have.
Okay.
And that's good. Like, we were excited by like...
Yeah.
The Marvel shows and, you know, other HBO shows. Like, Succession was probably the last weekly show that, like, we had to see on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So it is just feel really good to have that back. I'm super excited to share this epic journey with you, my little brother.
For these next 10 weeks.
9 weeks. See?
I can do math. 9 weeks. if you... I want... I'm trying to ask this question where it's not, like... rate this first episode. I guess it's excitement level.
Okay.
Out of 5.
Oh, 4.5.
Okay. I was gonna say 4.75.
And we can rate the episodes. I mean.
Okay. What would you give this rating?
No, you first.
Okay. I'll give it a 4.5.
I'll give it 3.75.
Okay. What would you take points off for?
Not a large scale epic battle. The minute they give me that, it's going to be a 4.75.
You're going to be a 5, and it's just because two dragons ripped each other's fucking heads off.
Bro, if they give me the same epic battle where Jon Snow is standing alone against the Horde, and then, like, his entire army... that would be an instant 5.
I think they are, because, like, in the Weeks Ahead thing, where, like, they show Matt Smith, like, in what looks like a battle, I think they're going to do something
epic. Like... That was probably the most epic 30 seconds of TV I can fucking remember. Like, that was such a juggernaut.
That was an insane episode.
Oh my god, it was so erect.
Let us know what you think.
Please, yes.
House of the Dragon.
Yeah, tweet us, Instagram us.
Yeah, at Furloughed Film on Twitter and at Furloughed Film Talks on Instagram. We'll be going through all of this and getting ready. Maybe we should... we can't watch it on Sunday nights. I was going to say maybe we could like set up something on Discord with people.
As we watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. As Why can't we watch the Sunday nights?
Well, because...
Okay.
But we could, like, we could do, like, a Discord where we watch it right as it drops, and then, like, people... We could, like, comment as it happens.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah.
I think it comes on at 8 our time. It's, like, the premiere.
Okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could... We'll work some. We'll see.
We have to at least do that for the finale.
Let's do that.
For sure.
Sounds good.
Well, everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. We appreciate you hanging out with us and hearing us jibber jabber about dragons and C-sections. So next time we will be talking about Game of Thrones House of the Dragon episode 2, as well as the newest George Miller movie, 3,000 Years of Longing, I believe is the name of it. So go check out our Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks. Let us know what you think of House of the Dragon, or on Twitter at Furloughed Film. We will definitely make sure to like and reply to whatever you said about that. And you guys just have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you next time.
Adios, amigos.